It's not easy to be a chef for the White House. Hundreds of people, many nationalities, many group sizes, and it all has to be high quality. Camp David executive chef Marty Mangiello has cooked for five presidential administrations, along with celebrities and royalty. GLT correspondent Joe Deacon talks with Mangiello at the McLean County Republican Party dinner. Mangiello technically worked for the White House military office. He says even meal planning involves bureaucracy.
We'll usually come up with an idea for menus and then show it to the social secretary and see what they think about it. And, of course, it depends on who's coming to visit. You know, we typically in the United States will honor, say, with the menu, half American food and half of the visiting country. And we'll do the same thing with the wines.
What do you do when things don't quite go right? I mean, do guests ever send things back or are not quite as pleased with the reception?
I can honestly say I've never in my life seen a dish come back. But we do have a lot of special requests. You have to be able to control your mind and your hands. So, you're cooking for Muslim specialty requests. You have kosher meals that need to be served that night. You may have any number of a dozen different kinds of diets. I've had everything from Dr. Pritikin to Dr. Ornish, or maybe somebody says, well, I'm on South Beach. And so it's a bit challenging in that regard, but there's certainly no room for any attitude.
What presidents that you've been able to work with are kind of like foodies, and which ones are more finicky or would just kind of rather have a burger or something simple like that?
So I wish I worked with the president who was a chef, okay? And everybody's always like, wow, there was a president who was a chef. I'm like, well, he was also an artist, too. He was very creative. Well, who was that? You're teasing us now. I'm like, actually, President Eisenhower, and he would go up on top of the roof and barbecue with the White House chef. So I wish I had worked with him. And then, you know, these past five presidents I have worked with for 25 years, but also then, you know, I cooked for a king and a queen and many princes, and also Prime Minister Hashimoto of Japan, and then presidents from other countries. So I often confuse people. I'll say, well, you want to know the presidents I cooked for outside the United States, or are you talking about the presidents, like in the president?
I think some people would be interested to know what their appetites were like and things like that.
Absolutely. So they all have their favorites, and figuring that out is the name of the game, as quick as you possibly can. So President Reagan loved macaroon cookies. Also, naturally for Reagan, we're going to have jelly beans. And he always had that jar on his desk, the Jelly Belly jar. President Trump's favorite is really the Keebler Vienna Fingers. People naturally, they see that, they know that this is a store-bought cookie. But that is one of Don's favorite cookies, the Vienna Fingers.
What about pork rinds? I think George Bush the First was a big fan of pork rinds.
Absolutely, all that type of food you would expect to find down in the South. We're very famous down there for pork rinds, no matter where you go. So,
can you tell us a little bit how different administrations kind of change the demands on the kitchens?
We have had some chefs fired, so very famous. One of the most famous changes with demands, of course, was you had the Kennedys hired a very famous French chef out of New York, René Verdon, and, you know, spoke barely any English whatsoever. And you've got to constantly all day long go up and get the First Lady because she's the only one who does speak French. And so then you have a new boss all of a sudden, LBJ, and maybe you make the barbecue incorrectly. Maybe you use pork meat and don't realize when he goes into a self-defeating rage spiral that, you know, Texans make their barbecue with beef.
This is Joe Deacon again for Sound Ideas on WGLT, visiting with White House Executive Chef Marty Mangiello. You kind of mentioned, how you match the cuisine to visiting heads of state, you know, whether it's a French ambassador or Chinese premier. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, one of my favorites was the Italian state dinner that the United States put on. And since I was raised in an Italian-American family, I would say my grandmother lost her mind on the phone when I called her and said, you know, I'm going to be cooking for Sophia Loren. And she's like, well, why are you cooking for her? What are you doing with her? I'm like, well, Graham, one of the things we do is we have all the famous glitterati in academia, in movies, in, you know, book writers, authors. We go through the whole gamut and we'll invite those people to come in. So she's like, well, who else is going to be there? I was like, well, Joe Gargiola is going to be there, Paul Tagliabue, the NFL commissioner, you know, John Bon Jovi. Who's he? That doesn't sound Italian. I'm like, well, Graham, his real name is Bon Jovi. But he's a famous rock star, Graham. So who else is coming? I'm like, Nicolas Cage is coming. He's not Italian. I'm like, Graham, yes, he is. He is. So those are the kinds of people that come. And that dinner for me was like probably at the top, you know, a 10 out of a 10 for dinners that I cooked for White House state dinners.
Are there other, like, epic failures or things that have gone wrong or other epic successes?
Absolutely. I mean, I still burn food myself. I repeatedly make fun of myself and laugh into my own face. I have over 5,000 students in my cooking school that have graduated, and they say it's so liberating to learn from this guy, the White House chef, who makes fun of himself and making mistakes. So that's really something. You have to give yourself a break in the kitchen. You know, I don't measure a lot of stuff. I throw things together. I still burn food, you know.
And so what happens when you do something like that? I mean, do you wind up with a lot more waste than you'd prefer?
Critical difference about me cooking my whole career. I actually will remake the whole food and dish. Some of the chefs that I worked with in the Navy and the military were like, hey, who cares? It's just a bunch of sailors. I'm serving it burnt. But I would not, and sometimes I had to stay later until 9, 10, 11 o'clock at night correcting my mistakes. And my leaders were like, why would you do that? You know, it's just a grubby chow for some swabbies. I'm like, no, it's not. But I would fix my mistakes and correct them.
Tonight's event recognizes several area volunteers for their service. What impresses you about volunteers like these and the work that they do?
You know, it was really amazing when our tribunal reviewed all of the submittals. We had 9 different people here that were submitted, and one of them is actually a whole family, the Kaiser family. We had a tough time. We actually come back and somebody asked, is it possible to give out 9 gold medals? I mean, honestly, and this particular group, the McLean County Republican Party, I thought did a unique thing. Most of the groups where I do a speech or our people give speeches at worldwide, the group will use that gold medal that we offer for free, which has a serial number and is listed on our website. They'll keep it within their group and award somebody, you know, in the group. This particular group of people decided, no, we don't want to hog that up. We want to open it up to the entire community and celebrate the community. And it doesn't matter if you're a Republican or not. If you're doing great things around here, we want to have you recognized. And so I thought that was really cool.
What can you tell us about the work you're doing at the Presidential Service Center?
Yeah, so we have a bunch of exhibits coming up. One of the most recent exhibits we just had, we had a guest speaker, Orlando Herrera, came down and did his whole speech in a fireside chat related to Rosa Parks and Claudette Colvin and that entire Alabama bus boycott in Montgomery and all of his research from the Library of Congress. And so that was a massive exhibit that had just opened and was all completed in December. So these are some of the exhibits that we have in the museum. And some of them are in glass, obviously, to see things, but then we do the live streaming and fireside chats. And, you know, we also get out of town and come to events like this around the United States.
And so what are some of your fondest memories of being the executive chef to the president?
Oh my gosh, yeah. I mean, just the responsibility of being in the military and realizing at 8 o'clock tonight, you don't get to take the white coat off and go home. That's for the civilian chefs to do. Because in the military, you turn into a bartender at night. And so literally this is like, you know, you're watching Game of Thrones and the person walks up to the king or the queen with the silver chalice and says, here it is, your highness, go on ahead, it's safe to drink. And he's like, really? Let me see you drink from it. No, your highness, I just tried it. No, drink from it right now in front of me. So it's really important that the people that we have around the presidency in the White House military office have a very, very expensive and long investigation It's nothing that you would be allowed to come to work within the first month and start working in the Oval Office. The people who are playing with food and doing your housekeeping, your valet duties, they're around the nuclear briefcase all the time, you're a butler, you can put the white coat on and prepare my dinner tonight for, you know, Melania and Baron and I, or maybe we're having 300, you know. I don't know. I didn't make up my mind yet, but that number would often go up and down throughout the day. It could be 40, it could go up to 80, it could go right back down to 3 around 6 o'clock. It's just going to be mommy, daddy, and baby.
So you have to be pretty flexible then.
Absolutely. Flexible like Gumby. Yeah.
What are some of your own personal favorite meals or foods or tastes?
So mine kind of moves all around because I'm a real foodie. But I love a Floridian fusion cuisine, yeah. And this is a blending of Caribbean and fruits and citrus. And, of course, you have all the seafood mixed in with that, black beans and rice and things. So, yeah, but I classically grew up in an Italian household with a lot of screaming and yelling. And at every Thanksgiving, there had better be a platter of ravioli or there's going to be a systemic revolt.
GLT correspondent Joe Deacon talking with White House Executive Chef Marty Mangiello, who now oversees the Presidential Resource Center in Grover, North Carolina. He presented Distinguished Service Awards to the David and Bob Kaiser families for their work in the Midwest Food Bank and to Normal Police Detective Nicole Bruno for her volunteerism with the Special Olympics, PATH, and the Police Union.